And Moses, the great leader of the Old Testament, was getting ready to leave the scene. He brought in his sort of son in the faith, we could call him, and that is a man named Joshua. And Joshua, along with Caleb, had been faithful to stand with Moses when nobody else would through the years of wandering in the wilderness. Whenever there was rebellion and when there was complaining, these two men of God stood right beside of Moses. And there came that day when Moses had to step off the scene. And it was Joshua that was to succeed him as the leader. And Moses spoke to him and challenged him. And then after Moses was gone, God himself met with Joshua. And God spoke to him and God dealt with him and God challenged him. And the record of that is found here in Joshua chapter number 1. And one of the things that God revealed to Joshua here in the first chapter of the book of Joshua is the importance of staying with the scriptures. As a matter of fact, it's right here in verse number 7 of this first chapter where God told him, he said, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Notice, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So we know that Joshua's challenge from God is to stay with the word that God revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai. That is the law that God gave to Moses and that Moses communicated to Joshua and the rest of the Israelites, that he was not to turn away from it to the left hand. He was not to turn to the right hand, but he was to stay with the word of God that had been written and revealed through Moses. He was to stay with the scriptures. And God told him if he would, then his way would be prosperous and he would experience success. And that is that he'd be able to have the presence of God. He'd be able to know the power of God. He'd be able to walk in the ways of God if he'll just stay with what God revealed to Moses in the law. And that record recorded for us, of course, is indeed the scriptures. And so he challenged him to stay with the scriptures. I believe that what God said to Moses and Joshua in the Old Testament is also true in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, when you get to the New Testament, you get to the book of 2 Timothy, you'll find that the man who succeeded Paul in the ministry that God had called him to was indeed Timothy. He was kind of like Joshua was to Moses. The Bible tells us whenever Paul wrote to him in his last letter, in the letter of 2 Timothy, that he challenged him. And in chapter number 3, verses 14 and 15, he challenged him to continue with the things that he had learned, those things that he had been taught. He said, "Knowing of whom you've learned them," and that is that from a child, he said that you've been made wise unto salvation by the scriptures. And he's telling him to continue in the scriptures. Timothy, you need to keep standing on the scriptures, believing the scriptures, and teaching the scriptures, and to stay with the scriptures. Don't move away from the word of God, but to continue in the word. And I believe that that's what God is not only saying in the Old Testament, it's not only what he's saying in the New Testament, but I believe that God is also saying to us as well. And that is that one of the things that we have to do if we're going to be prosperous, if we're going to be successful, that is, if we're going to be able to walk with God, if we're going to be able to know the presence and power of God in our individual lives, is we've got to stay with this book. We can't get distracted from it. We can't get discouraged from it. And that is that we need to know what this book says. We need to study it to find out what it means. And we need to stay with this book, our lives full of the Word of God. I tried to describe to you Sunday morning in as feeble way as I could what it means. When I say staying with the Scripture, exactly what I mean by that. When I mean staying with the Scriptures, I mean that you and I are searching the Scriptures. Just like the Bible tells us, like Jesus said in John 5, and just like we find the Bereans doing in Acts 17, and that is that they were searching the Scriptures. Not a quick glance, not an overview, not a skim, but a search of the Scriptures. Digging into the Scriptures and searching through the Bible. Not just reading it to find out what it says, but studying it to find out what it means. Applying it to find out how it works in our lives so that we can obey and do what the Word of God says to do. I'm talking about searching the Scriptures. We're talking about being saturated with the Scriptures. And that is not searching the Scriptures just once in a while, but a life that is saturated, minds that are saturated with the Bible, hearts and lives and homes that are saturated with biblical truth. That our lives are full of the Bible. Our hearts are full of the Word of God. The Bible tells us that, obviously, and reveals to us the importance of being saturated with the Scriptures, both in the first Psalm and also in the book of 1 Thessalonians. The Bible indicates to us the importance of our lives being full of the Word of God and saturated with the Scripture. We also discover that staying with the Scriptures means submission to the Scriptures. It means not only do I search the Scriptures, it means not only is my life saturated with the Bible, but it means that I've submitted my heart to the Scriptures. That is, what the Bible says, that's what I've surrendered to, as though it is the authority in my life. Like Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word, even so that we could say the very same thing. God, whatever your word says, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to obey. I want to be submissive to what you've said in your word. And we discovered that it's also important, that is, if you and I are going to stay with the Scriptures, of standing on the Scriptures. Like the Bible tells us to in 1 Corinthians 16:13, just standing on the word of God. That means that my life is fastened to the Scriptures. It's the foundation for my life. It's the foundation for the decisions I make, for the direction I go. That is what the Bible reveals in the Word is exactly what I'm going to be standing on, and I am not going to be moved away from the Word of God. No matter what anybody else does, I'm going to stay with the Scriptures. And we also discovered that if you and I are going to stay with the Scriptures, it means sharing the Scriptures. And that is that not only you and I searching it, and our life saturated with it, and not only submitting to it, and not only you and I standing on it, but taking what we have learned and taking what we know and then sharing it with other people, teaching others the Word of God, whether it be in a setting like a Sunday school classroom, whether it be in your home, whether it be with your family, your children, your grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, or on your job site, just taking and sharing what you know to be true from the Word of God, just sharing the Scriptures. And so that's what I mean when I'm talking about staying with the Scriptures, staying with the Bible, not being moved away from it, and as we discovered in the service Sunday morning. And then I began looking just briefly Sunday night at the motives for staying with the Scriptures. Why is it that you and I ought to stay with the Bible? I mean, why is it that we ought to be, for example, we ought to be in Bible study all the time? Why should I go to church all the time and listen to people lead Bible study? And why should I come and listen to somebody preach on Sunday morning and then again on Sunday night and then again on Wednesday night and then read my Bible on the other days of the week? Why should I be listening to Bible teaching when I'm in my automobile, whether it be on the radio or with a CD? Why should I be saturated with the Word, standing on the Word? And why is it that I should be sharing the Word, taking my time to study and teach the Word of God to other people? Why should we be doing all of that, staying with the Scriptures? One of the reasons why is what I explained Sunday night, and that is because of the fact that, listen, God does His work in our lives through this book. If you and I are going to experience anything of God in our life, anything of the work of God in our life, He operates in and through this revelation that He's given us of Himself, that is through the Bible. When you isolate yourself from the Bible, you're isolating yourself from the very means by which God works in people's lives. He works in our lives through the Word. And so if I don't read the Bible, if I don't study the Bible, if I don't search the Scriptures, if I don't allow my life to be saturated with the Bible, if I don't learn the Word of God, if I'm not in Bible study, if I'm not actively involved in consistent Bible study in my life, then the reality is that I'm limiting what God is going to do in my life. God operates through His Word. You see, the reason why that you and I ought to stay with the Scriptures, the reason why we should, first of all, is because this book is the eternal seed. Some of you here Sunday night, and I tried to look at 1 Peter 1 for a few moments. And in that passage of Scripture, some of you might remember that Peter tells us there in 1 Peter chapter number 1 that the Bible, the Scriptures, are like seed that's planted into a person's heart, that brings them to the point of the new birth. In other words, just like a man, his seed is implanted in the womb of a woman, and before long, a few months later, comes a birth. Even so, if there's going to be new birth, if a person is going to be born again, it always begins with the implanting of the seed. And the seed is the Word of God. the Word of God being planted in our hearts. And God uses that Word, that gospel, that good news about Christ to begin to work on us on the inside and to bring us to the point of conversion. And some of you like me, and that is whenever I got saved, it was in an altar of a church. And I tell you, my pastor had his Bible open and showed me some scriptures from the Word of God. My heart rested in what the Bible says about what Jesus did for me. And God saved me right then and right there. It is the truth revealed in this book that brought me to the point of saving faith and helped me to be able to put all my faith and trust in what Jesus did. And that book, that seed that was planted in my heart, the Bible says is seed that is eternal. That is, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1 that this word is going to live and abide forever. The seed of man is corruptible. That is man's seed. That is man's seed that brings more life into the world. That life will die someday. But I tell you that this word will never die. And those who are born again, they have eternal life. They have eternal life and will live forever. So why? Why would I not want to stay with this book? This is the seed that brought you and I to the point of saving faith. This is what brought us to the point of having eternal life. It is the truth that's going to abide forever. And so I think I'm just going to stay with this book. Amen. I'm going to stay with the scriptures because it is the eternal seed. Let me just give you a second reason why, a second motive for staying with the scriptures. Not only is it the eternal seed, but I tell you, it is the heavenly food. It is the heavenly food. You see, once the seed has been planted into the womb of a woman, and there begins that development that leads to a birth, then you've got a new, brand new little baby in the world. And the one thing that that little baby needs, as all of you know, the one thing that that little baby needs is food. Amen. That baby needs food. As a matter of fact, he or she needs mama's food. That's what they need more than anything else. And do you know that the one who mothered us or brought us into the kingdom, do you know that he has provided the heavenly food that helps us to grow? You know, the Spirit of God who birthed us into the family of God, according to John 3, has also inspired this same book that you and I have, the Bible. It is his book. And that book that the Holy Spirit, the one who birthed us into the family of God, has given us is the food. That is the heavenly food to help us to grow. We're all like a bunch of little babies in Christ. And we need to grow. We need to grow in grace and knowledge. And I tell you, the food that God has provided is the Word of God. You'll never grow apart from this Word. God grows his children. And ladies and gentlemen, he grows us through the Bible. That's why you need to stay with the Word, is so that you can grow. Do you know that the Bible is presented to us as the milk? Well, you can see it right there in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Let me show it to you real quick. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, the means by which you and I are going to be able to grow, like a little baby who's born into the world grows. The means by which we do that is by the milk. That is the milk of the word. That is the means by which you and I are going to be able to grow is this book. It is milk for infants. That is, for little baby Christians, like many of us have been and in many ways still are. This is the milk that helps us to grow. You say, well, I'm not a baby Christian. I've been saved a long time. But you know, even old folks take a drink of milk once in a while. Amen. And it's good for us. And do you know where the milk comes from to help you grow? Well, it comes from this book. Do you know that this book is not only presented to us as the milk, but also as the meat? Well, listen to the book of Hebrews, if you would. Let me show it to you real quick. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5, and verse number 12. Some of you might remember this passage. Hebrews, chapter number 5, verse number 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need one that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. In other words, he said, listen, you've been saved long enough. using the kind of analogy that you and I would say, a person, a child that's been around for a few years shouldn't just be on a milk diet. After a little while, they graduate on up to baby food, and before long, you get them on the table food, and before long, they look like you and I, and they're ready for a piece of meat because they're adults, because they've grown. They've got teeth, and they're able to eat meat. And that shows maturity in children. And even so, we find the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, you ought to be growing to the point that you ought to be able to take the truth and be able to teach others. But instead of being able to teach others, we're still having to come back and teach you the basics. That is the basics of the Bible, instead of being able to move you on to the deeper things of Scripture. And he teaches us here that the basic things of the Bible are like the milk. And the deeper truths of Scripture, which probably is referring to the high priestly ministry of Christ, his intercession for us in the book of Hebrews. He's saying that you and I need to understand, we need to be able to move beyond, we need to be able to move on and take a little bit of meat. So the biblical truth is not only milk for those who need milk, but it's also meat for those who've gotten a little bit more mature in the Word. The Bible is our milk, and it is also our meat. It is milk in the areas that we need milk in, and it is meat in the area that we need meat in. What I'm trying to get you to see is that this book is our heavenly food. Amen. It really is. Whether you're still on milk, or whether you're on meat, or whether you like both, it is both for us. In Psalm 119, 103, let me read that verse to you. Amen. The Bible says there, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Don't you like honey? I had a couple bites of honey today. I thought, well, maybe that'll be good for my throat, a little bit of honey. But oh, I found something that's sweeter than honey in you. And it's this book. It really is. The Word of God. Let me just remind you of what Job said in Job 23:12. Job told us in that verse, he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, Job is saying the Word of God is more important to me, more valuable to me than my necessary food. That is, the essential food that I need to be able to live is not as important, Job says, than the Word of God. It is more important to me. Listen, it's more important than the bread and butter. It's more important than the beans and taters. That is, this book is that important to Job. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why that you and I ought to stay with the Scriptures, it is because it is our heavenly food. If we're going to be able to grow, then we need to be in the Word, studying the Word, knowing the Word, applying the Word. It is our heavenly food. Let me give you another reason why that you and I need to be staying with the Scriptures. Not only is the Word of God the eternal seed that brought us into the kingdom, into the family of God, not only is it the heavenly food, ladies and gentlemen, that feeds us so that we can grow, but I tell you, it is the great light. The great light. Here's what I've discovered, and that is how essential it is and how important it is to have light. Amen. We need light. I think it was Sunday night, wasn't it, Rodney? It was Sunday night that the men's restroom, the light went out. I mean, the light was on. It was a little bit of light in there, but it was almost gone. And Rodney came by and he fixed the light and he got it all going now, guys, so you're fine. But I tell you, if you go into a restroom and there's absolutely no light and it's completely dark and there's no window in there, you are indeed in trouble. We need a light to be able to see, whether we're in the restroom or whether we're walking through the house or wherever we are, we need light. One of the things that our trustees did after we got done with the Easter play was that they put together a safety light in the gym. Now, it was in there when we built the gym, but for some reason, either the light bulbs got burnt out or they got taken out and never got fixed. And so whenever you walk through the gym at nighttime, it was completely dark. And you know me, I'm not going to go turn the light on just to walk through the gym. Can't tell you how many times I ran into a table or tripped over a ball whenever I was walking through the gym. It's so nice to have light, to be able to see where I'm going and what I'm getting ready to run into. Light is wonderful. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this book is our great light. It really is. Look in the Psalms with me for a few moments in Psalm 19:8. Psalm 19:8. The Bible says there, it says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You say, well, how can I be able to see? What direction do I need to go in? What do I need to do? What decisions do I need to make? Here I am, I don't know which direction. It's like I'm standing in a fog or in darkness and don't know where to turn. How do I know? It is the Word of God. God's Word that enlightens us, that gives us light, that enlightens the eyes so I can know what direction to go, so I can know what the truth really is. This book enlightens us so that we can see truth and know truth, so we can know God's will and so that we can know God's ways. Notice in Psalm 119, now some of these are verses that some of you know very well, don't you? Listen to Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do I know which path to take? This book tells me. It tells me what direction to go in and what decisions I need to make. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. The next phrase is a parallel phrase which explains what he means. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Have you ever been teaching somebody something that you know something about and there comes that moment when they get it and it's like a light bulb goes off? Sometimes we say it that way, don't we? It's like you finally see the light bulb go off and you know that they finally got it. I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, even so it is, and that is that God is trying to reveal some things to us. He's trying to enlighten us. He's trying to give us understanding about truth. And I tell you, it is the Word of God that reveals that light. God's Word gives understanding unto the simple. It gives light to those who don't know. It enlightens those who don't understand. You say, Pastor, there's so much that I don't understand about God. Well, don't be content to live in that. You can get into this book. And you can learn about him. You can know about him. You can know what his will is. You can know how to walk in his ways. You can know him personally through this book. It is indeed the great light. Listen to Matthew 22 and verse number 29. Going to the New Testament. Matthew 22 and verse 29. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. In other words, he's saying, listen, the reason why that you're wrong, the reason why that you've erred is because you do not know the scriptures. It is this word that gives us divine light and reveals divine truth so that you and I don't stumble, so that we don't err, so that we don't go in the wrong direction. The reason why the people in Jesus' day were so deceived is because they didn't know what the Bible meant. Many of them knew what it said, but they had no idea what it meant. They had no idea. For example, many of them knew the story of Jonah from the Old Testament, but they didn't understand that the story of Jonah was a picture of Christ, that just as Jonah would be in the belly of that fish for 3 days and nights, that Jesus would be dead and in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And just as Jonah came out of the belly of that fish, Jesus would come up out of the grave after 3 days. They didn't see that. They had no idea that that's what it was pointing towards. But Jesus clarified that, and in so doing, he gave them light. Divine light. Notice what the Bible says, if you would, also in Acts 26, whenever Paul was sharing his testimony and was sharing about when he got saved. One of the things that he said in Acts 26 and beginning in verse number 15, it says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. He saw Christ, and Jesus said, I've got a lot more I'm going to reveal to you, and I want you to share those things. And in verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Now notice, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. In other words, he's saying, Paul, I'm sending you to the Gentiles, and what I want you to do is share the Word of God with them, and it is the Word of God that will turn them from darkness to light. That is, from the deception of Satan, indeed, to the truth of God. And that's exactly what Paul did as he went into areas that had never heard about Jesus and began to share with them the word of God, began to share with them the gospel, began to share with them the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there were folks who heard, who understood, and who believed, and they went from darkness to light because of the ministry of the word of God. You'll see this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Notice what it says there. 2 Corinthians 4. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in verse 3, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, notice, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, talking about the creation, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so here's what the Bible is saying. It's saying that one day, Paul's saying, one day the light of God began to shine into my heart. The same God who created the sun that lights the earth has also a greater light that shines into the very heart of hearts. It's the light of the gospel. And that enlightens us so that we can know the truth. And that light begins to shine. He said, it shined on me. And do you know that while you may never see a physical blinding light like Saul did when he got saved, listen to me now, there was light that shined into your heart that was invisible to the eye. But I tell you, your heart knew what it was. It was the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that God began to reveal to you. It is indeed the great light. Listen to what Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1 real quick. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. It says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, wherein do you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What is he talking about? What is this light? Well, he says in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any profit interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What is that light that is shining? It is indeed the very prophets, the prophecy. It is the scripture given to us by the Holy Spirit through the prophets as they were moved upon by the Spirit. It is like a light shining into a dark place. This book, a light shining in a dark place. Now listen, in light of the fact that we need light so desperately. In light of that fact. And we understand that, don't we? We understand how much we need light. We understand how much we need electricity for the lights so that we can have light. Even so, we need the great light. That's the lesser light. These are lesser lights. This is the great light. This light reaches the eyes. But the light of the gospel transforms men's hearts, makes them new creatures in Christ. It's the light after we're saved that helps us to know what path to take, what direction to go in, what the will of God is, what the ways of God are. And that's the reason why we've got to stay with the scriptures. The reason why is because this book, the scriptures, are indeed the great light. Let me just give you another reason. Y'all got a few more minutes, don't you? I thought so. The word of God is not only the eternal seed that brings us into the family of God. It's not only the heavenly food that grows us. It's not only the great light that guides us. But I tell you, it is the sharp sword. The Bible is. Some of you remember the passage in Ephesians 6, don't you? When the Bible talks about the armor of God. Remember that passage? It talks about how that you and I are involved in spiritual warfare, principalities, spiritual powers and wickedness in high places. And if you and I are going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, then we've got to put on the whole armor of God. And we find there that Paul gives us a description of what that armor is. I don't have time to go through all of that armor, but I tell you that all of that armor is found in Christ. He is our righteousness. And he is our salvation. He is the armor. Jesus really is. And I tell you that at the end of that list, he tells us there about taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One thing that every soldier needs in the middle of battle and warfare is he needs a sword. And I know that warfare is different than today than it was in Paul's day. But if you were living in the first century, every soldier needs a sword. Listen now, a soldier without a sword is about as good as a preacher without a voice. Amen. I mean, it doesn't amount to much. And so every soldier needs a sword. It is his defensive weapon as well as his offensive weapon. And I'm going to say to you that the Word of God is that for us as well. One of the reasons why that many people are living defeated lives, and many don't even know it, but living defeated lives, defeated by the deception of the enemy being communicated through the world system, the reason why is because they have not stayed with the Scriptures. The Word of God, this book, is our sword in the day of battle. It really is. And when I say it is our sword, I mean it not only protects us from the attacks of the enemy, but this book allows us to go on offense against the enemy. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, do you know that there are individuals who are taken captive by Satan? They are blinded to the gospel. Listen, there are those who've been deceived by the false teaching of the secular world and, listen, have never really considered the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why, they're around us by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, possibly even by the hundreds of thousands, people who are living in darkness, who are living in deception, and who do not know Christ. And you and I, it's our responsibility in spiritual warfare, not just to be on the defense, but to be on the offense. And do you know that what God has placed in our hand to go on the offense against the enemy's deception in the minds of individual lives, what God has placed in our hand is like a sword in the hand of the soldier. And it is this book. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? It is this book that reaches into the hearts of individuals, into that area that nobody else can reach into, the invisible area, the human soul, into the spirit of a person, and can reach their soul for Christ. Let me show it to you in Hebrews chapter number 4. And while you're turning there, I'll take a little sip. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Listen to this verse. You've heard it before, haven't you? It says, for the word of God is quick. Now that word quick means alive. It's living. It's quick and it's powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's right. Notice now how sharp it is. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Amen. Now listen. There's never been a doctor, there's never been a surgeon that's been able to divide asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is. It is so sharp, the Word of God is, that it can reach into the heart, into the inner being of an individual that nobody else can reach. I've explained this to you before, but you know it already. And that is that a surgeon can cut a person open and can look on the inside, in the innermost parts of our human body, but they will never see our spirit. It is invisible to the eye. Listen, they can even get the microscope out and look under the microscope and still not see the human spirit. It is invisible to the eye. You cannot see the soul or the spirit or the life of an individual. You cannot see that. And ladies and gentlemen, we find the Bible, though, the Bible is able to reach even into that area. It is so sharp that it reaches even into the area of soul and spirit, even the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, the Bible reaches the souls of individuals deep on the inside. And that's why this Bible, that's why the Word of God, this sword, is so important for our lives. That you and I say, Pastor, I don't know how we're ever going to reach, how will we ever reach that person in my family? There's only one way. There's only one thing sharp enough that can get deep enough to reach that person in your family, and it is this book. Amen. You say, Pastor, they're so in darkness and so deceived, but there is a sword that is specially designed for that. Just like a surgeon may have certain scalpels and instruments that are designed for certain procedures, this book is designed to reach into the souls of individuals that are in darkness and deception and reach their minds and their hearts and their souls. This book is. That's why it's so important to stay with the scriptures. Listen, you'll never be able to help anybody of any eternal value apart from the revelation of this book. You see, I could sit down with someone and share with them just what I think. But what I think will get no farther than just between the ears. It won't reach the spirit or the soul of the individual. And they may go to the secular counselor and learn a few theories that may be able to help them to be able to cope with their problem. But there'll never be a real resolution, a solving of the problem until it comes from this book, the revelation of this book. This book is that sword. If you want to be able to help people and minister to people, this book is your answer. Listen, if there's a part of your life that nobody else can reach, this book can reach it, cut it apart, take it out, heal it up. This book is that sword that reaches the deepest parts of our lives. It is the sharp sword. If there's an area of your life that you're struggling with, that nobody's been able to help you with, this book can. It can cure the problem. It is that sword. What I'm trying to get you to see is why we ought to stay with the scriptures. I mean, is there any point of going to Bible study all the time? Really? I mean, every Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon is short. It's not long enough. We've got other things we want to do. Why come back on Sunday night? Why be here on a Wednesday night? Why be involved in Bible study? Why be focused on all that? Why waste my time studying and trying to teach children or teach others? Why do all of that? I'm trying to give you some reasons why. It's all because of what this book is. It is, ladies and gentlemen, the eternal seed. And it is the heavenly food. And it is the great light. And it is the sharp sword. And then let me just say finally, it is the divine breath. Let's look over in 2 Timothy 3 tonight and we'll conclude there. It is the divine breath. 2 Timothy 3. Now, 2 Timothy 3 is that passage I was referring to when I first began. Because of verse number 14, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, which thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And what he's learned is found in verse 15, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." He's saying, continue in what you've learned, what you've been taught from the Holy Scriptures. Stay with what you've been taught from the Bible. Timothy, don't move to the right hand. Don't move to the left hand. You stay with the Bible. Yeah, that's right. The Bible, which made you wise unto salvation, you stay with the scriptures. And then he tells him in verse number 16 why that's so important. The reason why is because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now that little phrase there, as many of you know, because I preached out of these verses before, and that is that little phrase, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word that is used there literally means all scripture is God-breathed. That other word, inspiration of God, it's a compound word that literally just means God-breathed. In other words, the scriptures are the divine breath. Divine breath. Now, the reason why it's described that way is because that Paul's trying to help us understand not that the scriptures are inspiring when we read them. He's trying to understand that the scriptures, the source or where the scriptures came from, the origination of the scriptures, it came from God. It is the divine breath. It came from the Spirit of God. That is, if you think of spirit and breath, words that are very similar, even so, this book came to us from God. It came from the very breath of God. It is divinely inspired. Listen, those men of God in the Old and New Testaments that spoke and wrote so that you and I have this written record that we have here in the Bible. God the Holy Spirit so worked in them and moved upon them in such a way that as they wrote and as they spoke, it was indeed, as it were, the Word of God. The very Word of God. And that Word of God that God gave to them has been preserved for us in the pages of Scripture, even right down to this very day. It is the divine breath. It is inspired, given by, it came from God's divine breath, inspiration of God. And listen, Timothy, that's why it's so important. That's why this book is so important. And you need to stay with it. Notice with me, if you'll stay with it, Timothy, it'll profit you. Remember what God told to Joshua? If you'll stay with the Scriptures and not move to the right or the left hand, you'll prosper and you'll be successful. And here we find Timothy, God is saying the same thing. And that is, if you'll continue in the things that you've learned, if you continue in the Scripture that is given by divine inspiration, the breath of God, you will be profitable. Now, I know when you and I think of profitable, first thing we think is the bank account. But there's something more important than money. He said, here's how to profit you. It'll profit you in the area of doctrine. That word there means it's referring to teaching. In other words, Timothy, you'll know what the truth is. That is what real doctrine, real truth is, and so that you can then teach it to others. It's profitable in the area of doctrine. Listen, one of the things that's more important than money is truth. Knowing the truth. If it were possible, and it's not, but if it were possible for you to gain the whole world, but you didn't know the truth and lost your own soul, what good would it be? Something more important than money is truth. Timothy, this book will help you to know what truth is and what it is not. It'll profit you in the area of doctrine. Also in the area of reproof. That little word reproof is the idea of exposing what is wrong. Now, I know that this is a little uncomfortable for us. We don't like to think that there's anything wrong with us, but we all know there is, don't we? We all know there's something wrong with us. Amen. I know you heard me. There's something wrong with us. There's something broken in us. And if you're sitting there tonight and you think, well, I know I'm broken. I'm probably the only one here. I'm going to say to you that if you'll look around you, you'll see nothing but broken people around you. There's not one person in this room, including the one standing here, that does not have areas of brokenness in their life. And the one thing that we desperately need is for somebody to tell us the truth about what's broken in us. And do you know what this book does? That. It reproves us. It shows us what is wrong with us. It not only shows us what is wrong, but the Bible tells us here that it also corrects us. This book is profitable not only for doctrine and reproof, but also for correction. In other words, it not only reveals to us what's wrong, but it reveals to us how to correct it. That is how we can get that area of our life straightened out and dealt with in the way that God wants us to deal with it. This book tells us, he said, Timothy, if you'll stay with this book, man, you will profit and you'll prosper in the area of doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, so that you'll know the right way to live, the right direction to go in, and how to teach others how to go in the right direction as well, so that they don't have to destroy their lives and be in a big mess. Instruction in righteousness. And he said, if you'll stick with this book, here's what will happen. That is, the man of God will be perfect. You say, what do you mean perfect? I mean, you'll be growing and maturing in the things of God. God will thoroughly furnish you unto all good works. Timothy, if you'll stay with this book, God will grow you up. He'll mature you and he will equip you to do everything, every good thing that he's called you to do. God will equip you to do it through this book. And you know the reason why? It is the divine breath. It is God's word, divinely inspired, so that everything that you need, Timothy, is found in the Holy Scriptures. And not only will bring you to the point of salvation, but I tell you, it'll straighten you out, sanctify you, make you strong, and it'll equip you so you can be everything that God wants you to be. Stay with this book. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I tell you, when God breathes, I want to know what it is, don't you? I do. I want to, listen, if this is the divine breath, if this book is not just a religious book like other religious books, and it really is what the Scripture says it is, the divine breath, the divine revelation that came from God himself, if it is that, then I want to stay with this book, amen. I want to stay with it. because this is the book that has the answer for my life. It's the book that will equip us so that we can serve God and be what God wants us to be. It'll expose everything that's wrong with us and how to straighten it out and how to live a righteous, godly life. It's the book that'll bring you to salvation, and it's the book that'll teach you how to live after you are saved. Timothy, man, if I was you, I would stay with the Scriptures. And listen, if I was you, I would too. I mean, every time this book gets opened up, I'd want to be there because God might be speaking to me. You say, well, Pastor, sometimes I like to go to Bible study in church, and other times it's not that great. Listen, anytime this book is opened, no matter the personality of the speaker or the style of the teaching, every time this book is opened, there is divine breath sweeping through this place. And that's why you and I need to be hearing and listening and reading. Study this book because it is the divine breath. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your truth and your word and what you've been trying to say to us this evening. God, I pray, Father, that you take this feeble effort and use it, God, to encourage those who are here tonight to realize, Father, that you have revealed yourself and you've done it in the word. God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, you'd work in us in such a way that we'll be able to respond to that truth tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.